The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Today was the beginning of my love line, Le Courrier du Coeur avec Dr. Gary AP. I really loved it. I love the experience. It's hilarious. There was a caller. We did the show where the show model taken from a little bit like Doc Mayu. It was in French, and it reminded me of those lengthy hours listening to Doc Mayu, because he's a psychiatrist who was very early in terms of having his own show, having his radio show, and he was a controversial, biology-oriented psychiatrist who was counseling women and men, and he kept yelling at the audience and hating on the callers. I've been told that I was more kind. I was more kind to the callers than Doc Mayu was. That was not my goal. I think in a way I'm more controversial, say, than Doc Mayu. But it's true that I've been respectful of the callers, and very often the callers, they were yelled at by Doc Mayu for reasons that I didn't believe in. Very often I was finding Doc Mayu is too easy to irritate by the callers. Prude says, Anna Kasparian needs insemination. We need her anti-Semitic genes to continue. Yes, Anna Kasparian. I mean, she's one of these women, like so many women. That was one of the calls today on the Love Line. Women who think about politics, they don't bring much of a contribution to politics anyways, and they keep themselves from making babies. So it really doesn't make sense to keep our woman in artistics and politics and trying to change the world. It's like we were talking to a 39-year-old, very kind, a very Mama JF-like personality on call, very much like Mama JF, you know, wanting, dreaming to change the world, kind of naive. And it's like she was 39 and she had no babies because she got betrayed here and she made the wrong decisions here and she wants to change the world here. It's like, yeah, you got to get in the game. No choice, woman. And your window of time is shorter. We have the luxury as males to... It's a luxury and it's a damning also. But we have the luxury to be able to basically have 5 or 6 lives. I mean, the woman in my life that I bred with, that I made children with, from their perspective, that was the point at which they reproduced. From my perspective, they were just one item along the way. Not that I wanted it to be that way, but it turned out that way. And so, yeah, women need to just get in the game. Insemination now. She needs immediate insemination. This girl, Étoile du Nord, that called on the show. There was also... There was an old, like, 60-year-old gray hair female that said, this is too much. I'm leaving. Get the fuck out, bitch. Oh my god. It's like, yeah. you won't please the old female. The old female is either understands the whole scam of feminism, and then she's very much into just knowing that her own reproductive life is over and that she needs to tell the youth, the young females, to do better than her generation. Or she's going to be a pissed off feminist. You know, she's going to be a pissed off, resentful person who doesn't even want to hear the opinion of a guy like me. So we had one that actually left in shock. That is good. That is a good sign. That is a good sign. Marby Dog says, I saw Fuentes on the Red Scare podcast. Freaking hilarious. I loved it. I've been wondering whether I would watch this, and it most likely no. You know, this is a fucking female product, and they're there with their short skirts and this kind of cougar, almost predatory look toward Nick. It makes me feel bad. I don't want to hear what these females have to say. I'm probably not going to watch, you know. People like the idea of having women with short skirts kind of on the late age of attractability, but kind of still looking sexy, you know. And it's like, I'm not going to watch 2 hours of this. This is porn. This is like, it's misplaced. These women have nothing to say. I watched 1 minute of it, and it's like, oh yeah, so generational run, huh? Oh, well, what are you saying? What's a generational run? Oh, well, I know a generational run is like when you run, like it's good. Like, I'm not watching 2 hours of this. This is fucking retardation, and it's porn. Okay, you guys want to see the little sexy lady placing her skirt before she starts the filming of Nick? I get it, but there's better porn than this. There's porn where the woman doesn't even have a skirt. Marby Dog says, I suffer and... Oh, no, this one I read. New Guy Prime says, failures want to create more failures. It makes them feel less faily. Ah, that's interesting. Maybe that's how a 60-year-old woman, you know, interacts with the world. Anyways, excellent experience with the Lux Media people. André Pitre, very, very clever guy. Very clever Quebecois guy. Unfortunately, you know, lives the life in Montreal. How is this guy smart and kind of red-pilled? How is this guy living in Montreal, bro? Get the fuck out of there. But what a nice man. We will be doing it every week, so I'll be having those more and more calls, and we'll see where it goes. There will be people deluded calling, I'm sure. There will be people screaming at me. We'll face whatever the love line brings in. Shamrock Shake says, I used to listen to Red Scare, then I realized how crap it was. Bro. It's like the whole lounge screams cougar lesbianism. It's like, yeah, I've been in those lounges, like New York style, old apartment with all the, this is the chair that my great grandfather had, and so I put it here, and it's like old couch from the 40s. This is cat woman lesbianism right there. Demonic, possessed, communist, cat woman lesbians. This is what was interviewing Nick Fuentes. Bruto says, Jeff, I can't wait until this show builds a reputation and I hear friends and family members commenting on the latest clips. Yeah, I think this show has potential. Because there has been this space left by the death of Doc Mayhew, and there's never been really a return of anything close to Doc Mayhew. Many tried, but the thing is, the recipe of having kind of a normie woman, and I'm not saying André Pitre is not a normie nor a woman, but he's willing to play kind of within that role of kind of bringing me into reality, kind of being my anchor to the non-scientific world. And this dynamic that Doc Mayhew had with his female co-host, that was absolutely unique. And if André Pitt is willing to play that game, I'm absolutely willing to, because JF solo, you know, it has a certain level of technicality. But JF with a normie brain, with normie colors, that can create some sparks that are interesting. Laura Loomer is starting to be worried that Elon Musk and X have announced that they would be displaying the country of origin of people. Now, there will be a way you can ask for privacy for it not to be displayed. But by default, they would say that JF is from Canada, this Laura Loomer is in the US, although, you know, she's very much pro-Israel, but she's in the US technically. This random account that you think is a A1 Ethan Aryan is actually in India. And it's very unlikely that he has blue eyes. I think it's generally good. Generally good. There's one moment. There are pros and cons. There is something great about the idea of a collective, international, worldwide conversation. So the idea that, okay, you know, if someone from Europe has an important point to make, I want to hear it. And I don't want to feel like, oh, he's in Europe, therefore what he says doesn't matter. Because in fact, what we've been discovering is that there is a common community of white people who experience the same thing across the world. You can be in Europe, you can be in Chicago, and you're faced with the same problem fundamentally. So the international discussion will kind of pay the price here, because people will be more segmented. Maybe some of my tweets, for example, people will say, oh, he's a Canadian. Ooh, what does it matter? And so be it, because I don't want to deceive people. I don't want Americans to read my tweets and think I'm an American. I do want them to read my tweets and think maybe we can learn from this Canadian. Maybe there are common fights, you know, all across the world. So it will be a different Twitter, but overall, I think it will be good. There was a kind of civil war happening on Twitter, and I don't know if it stemmed as a series of errors, because it's kind of been reverted. But there was a series of banning of big accounts in the BAP sphere. Captive Dreamer, Avacarium, you know, Avaricum or 777 or whatever, and Tunes. So they were kind of biggish anon accounts that were troublemakers, and I've always considered them as dumb and uninteresting, unoriginal, but they've been credited with a lot of kind of surfing around the edge of the alt-right. And I've never really understood who the fuck are these people. Captive Dreamer. Like, I don't get it. Who is this person? What has he accomplished in life? Is there a single ID that you can trace to Captive Dreamer as being the original innovator for? I've never had an answer to that question. So I've always dismissed these people. But there's no question, though, that these people have power and they are networked all together. And this network kind of somehow connects to Curtis Yarvin. I don't know how. I don't get it again. But yesterday, Curtis Yarvin did a ultimatum and basically said, I'm boycotting X. I will continue putting my links in here professionally to direct people to my blog or whatever, but I'm not going to write direct text on X anymore. And that was a boycott that is done in response to the banning of Entunes and Captive Dreamer. Now he has reverted his boycott. He said the accounts were restored, so I'm withdrawing this and will pin something else. So I don't know exactly what happened, but you know, people are trying to dismiss this. Like Grok was trying to explain to me that, oh no, this was just basic rule enforcement. These accounts doxed people, and so they got punished. I'm willing to understand that these guys, they push the boundaries. You know, in a way, you'll find more racist commentary on these accounts than you will on mine, which is weird because it's like the, are you an original racist? Like, are you like a bona fide alt-right racist, or are you just trying to steal the audiences for racism? What the fuck are you doing exactly? And so, yes, they push the boundaries more than people who have an actual idea about race, because they can only generate emotion. They can only get that emotional edge over us because they don't have the intelligence. So they're like, oh, look, this black guy killed this white woman. Ah, I don't do that kind of thing. I don't do that kind of thing because, well, for many reasons. I don't believe that emotions are a proper driver. This is why in a week I see about like 3 or 4 videos of just white woman being beaten up by black people. They're just stepping over her head or whatever. I see videos like this and I don't retweet them because I think they're demoralizing, and I think they are kind of, they're putting you in a frustrated mode against society where, oh, we have to do something. We have to get these guys in jail. These individuals must be put in jail. These thugs. And it's like, this is the wrong path. This sends the people to the wrong path. A path of frustration, a path of delusions that you can fix it. It's like, put your thugs in jail if you want. You've not solved the demographic problem. You've not solved the problem that there's 2,000 of them coming. They're always going to need to be put in jail. It's always going on like a cycle like this. And when you show just the video, the problem is you lose the intellectual point. You forget that, oh, okay, so this is all eugenics and it's all fixable, but we'll never get to the point where it's fixable because people don't want to face that conversation. I'd rather bring the intellectual point and say, look, get the hell away because it's not going to be fixed. Now, these guys, they constantly retweet these videos. Oh my God, look at how pathetic this is. They're stepping over her head. What do you think you would do if this was your daughter? And all of this is extremely inefficient. I'm willing to have the most hardcore conversation that needs to be had on this. But seeing it every day is not what's needed right now. Marby Dog says, I understand where the emotion comes from, but I agree with JF that these videos are manipulative. Yeah, so it's like, yeah, we do need to rise consciousness about race and violence in the US. But the videos are raising the stupid kind of consciousness, and I don't care all that much about raising the stupid kind of consciousness, because the stupid kind of consciousness has no plan for action, and it's going to be eventually easily countered. You're going to have, people will become resistant and resilient to, oh, what if this was your daughter? At some point when you abuse the emotion, you lose its effect. And I don't want that. I want us to have a great conversation about race. I want us to think about the consequences of the unsolvability of some of these problems, and eventually down the line understand that the solution is some degree of voluntary segregation, some degree of separation, some degree of distanciation between peoples who are not compatible. I see there is currently a very high pushback on racialism. I've seen efforts deployed by the Jews, Brett Weinstein, Steven Pinker. They're going hard at it. They're tweeting every day about it. And the general message that they're trying to push is, I mean, Brett Weinstein was literally saying, either the Western idea that race should not matter will survive, or the racialists will win and we're in big trouble, or whatever. You know, I don't remember exactly how he completed the sentence. But wait a fucking minute. The Western idea that race shouldn't matter? This is ahistorical. This Western idea has been brought by Jewish academia in the 70s. Race has always mattered before that. There is a small window of time in the history of America in which a foreign group tried to insert the idea into America. And it was Martin Luther King and the Jews of academia and, you know, bands of migrants of all stripes and colors, all getting together and trying to usurp what was a racial empire. Absolutely. I mean, the white Englishman has fought for this region that has become the United States against invaders of all kinds, Native Americans who were there before us, and a lot of Mexicans, a lot of Hispanics. This war and these conflicts have been defining the beginning of America. And since that beginning, America has been based on racial grounds. And the loosening of these racial grounds came not to let in Africans or Jews or Russians, but to let in Irish and Catholics maybe, and Italians maybe at first. And so this, even this era is still very racial, where we opened up the borders to basically the Catholics that would eventually weaken this nation to the extent where it became, we lost control of it. And only very, very late in the history of America has even the delusion been entertained in any way that it was a non-racial empire. Bullshit. Bullshit, Brett Weinstein. So yeah, I don't know what's in the books for what's to come, but these old boomers are becoming fucking annoying with their defeated ideology. It's like you're not gonna change the rising generation, guys. You're not gonna push your boomer beliefs on a generation that is already wholly programmed. I mean, even the minorities of this generation reject what you have to say. You lost the battle. You lost it a long time ago. Now you're just doing your last gasp. It's the last gasp of boomerism. It's not going to work. So I guess what we have to do at this point, we have already won the debate of facts. We have been ignored by these people. They have decided to dehumanize us. They are trying to dehumanize a whole generation of youth Republicans. We'll see in the main story tonight. It's not going to work. Engage with good faith, with the truth in mind. Stop playing these boomer games. Steven Pinker, Brett Weinstein. Stop trying to let the censors do their work while you try to gatekeep on your side and you push these boomer ideas onto the next generation, it's not going to work. You're just losing the respect of everyone. Doubting Thomas sends a super chat. Thank you so much for the support. He says, Jeff, assume that the peace treaty lasts in Gaza. Will they be able to put the acceptance of criticism of Israel genie in the mainstream back into the bottle? That is a very interesting question, because I've been wondering to what extent is Jewry and its behaviors in the last year or two, to what extent is it based in such an irrational fear that it will now calm down? Because a lot of it was ultimately based on money flows and worries. The Jews were worried. They were, and I would question the validity of their worry factually, but I would say also that it's a genuine emotional worry that they have. They are deluded into thinking that they're gonna die. And they use these delusions to drive aggressive, greedy behaviors. And that motivated a lot of the censorship, a lot of the takeover of our institutions. It was this whole nervousness that they may not even be able to get Gaza, and that they might have a demographic problem at home too, because it's like, go to Israel and it's a bunch of brown people inseminating brown women. And there's a segment of the population that is Muslim, even if you forget about Gaza, and just in their society, they're fighting their own demographic race. Now, a lot of the nervousness, these public speakers from Jewry, from podcasting Jewry and academic Jewry, they dehumanize others a lot. They don't want to hear the opposing view. They want to censor. They don't like freedom. As Joel Davis frames it in Australia, they hate freedom. They only like it when it allows them to advance in the institutions. But I've been wondering, based on your super chat, if we'll see the end of it. Because are you going to maintain this double standard and talk on one side of the mouth, say something and say the other thing from the other side of the mouth? Can you sustain this for 50 years? Like, are the Jews greedy enough, and are they fundamentally cognitively biased enough for themselves that they can sustain forever this dishonesty with which they've engaged with the world, with which they have refused to label what they were doing as clearly what it was, which is a genocide? I don't know. And perhaps we'll get a break of this. Perhaps, you know, the Jews, let us not forget that the Jews, although these days it may be annoying when you see them constantly pushing the same talking points and constantly siding with censorship of their opponent, but let us not forget that the Jews are also capable of producing Happy Gilmore and, you know, playing a mathematician in Jurassic Park and hosting a spectacular show like Jerry Springer, or, you know, that kind of Jews, they have the edge inside of them. Let us not forget that American History X was produced by a Jew. So will we get this other side of their face soon, eventually, or is it over? It's possible that it's over. It's possible that loosely thinking Jews that were kind of at the edge of Jewry, they may have been eliminated by their own internal mafia-like system of intimidation. Because, of course, when you're in those circles, they check you. They're very tight on you. And even a young Jew rises, you know, will get told, hey, don't you say that anymore about the Holocaust, or hey, don't do this, or don't side with this guy, or don't platform this guy. I would love to have a relaxation. I would love to see the Jews chill out. Chill out, guys. Shamrock Shake says, Jeff, we didn't need any of that. You mean Jurassic Park and Jerry Springer? No, but it's just to say that, you know, I would say Dave Smith may be the modern representative of this type of Jew, you know? The Jew edgy enough to end up questioning himself. But it's heartbreaking that you have to have, that this is rare. It's heartbreaking because it's part of white people's normal cognition to be questioning themselves first, to look inside, look for the sinner, look for the flaw, look for the error, self-critique. It's amazing that this phenomenon, which you could call honorable, you know, self-consistent and self-critical morality, is a rarity on the Jewish side, especially when they're nervous, when they want to commit a genocide or in the process of doing it. Now, someone is spamming a video from 6 years ago about Mama JF. This guy wants to be banned, people say. Yeah, let's ban this guy because it's like, yeah, Mama JF, you know, is gone. She's gone. And I wish that she was still my wife. I wish that I could have handled her and... But she chose to leave. She chose to leave, and that's not my fault. And it's not my fault if there are rapist, murderer, truckers out there who can hide a body very well. Okay? Not my fault. I've always said it. The minute a woman betrays me or leaves me voluntarily, and if she doesn't fix her betrayal or doesn't come back, I am not responsible for her safety. I'm responsible for basically making sure that she's well. I can even drive her to whatever point she wants. Mama Jeff wanted to be driven to a gas station. I said, okay, I'll drive you exactly there. And I will give her food and a little bit of money. But that's it. That is, by the way, that to me is generous. Because in my heart, in the depth of my heart, I believe she should be thrown to the fucking alligators. I believe that a woman who betrays her husband should be literally dropped down with a chain. She should be attached at a chain, and we should be lowering progressively until she gets chewed by alligators. Now, that's in the depth of my heart. But because I'm a man of I'm a man of just, I guess, fairness, and I'm a man of compromise. I have not dropped Mama JF in an alligator-filled pond. Also, it's very hard anyways to maintain an alligator pond in Canada. So instead, in Canada, we maintain a trucker. We maintain a trucker population of diverse origins. Okay, and so instead of dropping Mama Jeff in the alligator pond, I have dropped her where she wanted to do what she wanted to do anyways, and. But she had been doing all of her life without me. All of her life, Mama JF was asking for truckers to carry her at all ends of Canada and even up to Slovakia and North Africa and Europe. So that was the default Mama JF that I found on the fucking streets, okay? I had Mama JF be converted into a woman, a mother and a wife who has produced great things in our family. But she has returned to her default state. She has returned to her default state, and I convinced her for about 2 years. I actually maintained her in the position of a mother that she didn't want to be anymore. And I pushed and I argued and I said, you know, we really love you. And I said, we really would love to have one more baby for the family. And I convinced her many times over that 2 years to put back her plan to escape. But I can only use verbal arguments. I cannot yell. I cannot scream. I cannot push. I cannot torture. I cannot withhold you with handcuffs. So those are my limits. If you wanted to protect Mama JF better for next time, I demand technicalities. I demand material. And I demand legal standing. I demand a jurisprudence that says, yes, husbands should retain their wives with handcuffs when they want to leave. If you want to save Mama JF, very easy. Very easy. Just give Papa JF right of handcuffs. She's going to be safe. Neymar says, JF, how do you feel about Kanye West's influence on the far right? Do you have reservations about a black rapper being an alt-right symbol? Well, I do not believe that Kanye West is a far-right individual or an alt-right symbol. Kanye West is a edgy, bizarre brain of the sides of society. And he, deep inside, he probably thinks very much like a leftist. Even if he supported Trump at times, you can feel that he comes from a place of love and care for everyone. And that's just leftism. That's just leftism. If you care for any more than your family and what you can gain through selfishness, then you've misunderstood something fundamental about society. You've misunderstood that society actually gets better for the people you care about if you don't care about them. Now, that's a tough one, but that's the true right-wing limit. If you're not into this, if you're into, I want to help everyone, then to me, you're a left-winger, which places 99% of the population under the term left-wing, to my brain. So I don't think that Ye is a right-winger or a far-right person. I think it's great that Ye exists as an artist, as a weirdo, as a broken brain, and we should let Ye exist. Now, he does have some overlap with the alt-right and the far-right when it comes to the Jews. And it's very important because the Jews are kind of, they're an out-of-politics question of their own. Whether you're left-wing or right-wing, there's various ways in which you will have to confront the question of the Jews. And that's basically what we've brought up since 2016 with me and the public space and all the speakers and this whole rising awareness that the Jews matter, that you can't understand this world without the Jews. Now, Frog Eyes says, the top three white supremacists today, Kanye West, Candace Owens, Andrew Tate. Yeah, definitely there's something wrong with this view, and I've seen it develop, this false conception. But never forget, Ye is a bizarre, leftoid, broken brain. Artist, genius, sure, but broken brain. Candace, who, by the way, has said that he would start a presidential campaign, couldn't do it because no one with this kind of deranged brain can do stuff that's useful. They can really only push IDs and modes and fads. That's all they can do. Candace Owens, extreme journalistic malpractice, broken psycho female brain, not in any way aware of the importance of race. In fact, is actively in self-denial about it because she's in a mixed-race relationship. Andrew Tate, a polygamous, you know, Muslim type, tough guy, tough gym guy, that uses various scammy practices to pose as a self-help kind of leader of any kind. And then you mention Myron. Well, Myron, an effective podcaster and a man who has defined the genre in podcasting, and a man who is aware of the Jewish question and its importance. Some credit to Myron. But someone who is fundamentally within the frame of polygamy, someone who is fundamentally, who has addicted to the female gynocracy that has set up in our nations, and who's merely into the how do you get the best out of it? How do you get all these O's in your bed? How do you charm these O's? None of these four people are carrying white civilization. None of these four people. They all have a specific angle where they are fundamentally defective with respect to an understanding of what whiteness even is, let alone a capacity to have a political project to maintain it somewhere on the planet. So all of them will tell you that white lives matter. Very easy to spout slogan, really. But do you understand why whiteness matters? Do you understand why more than white lives, but white societies matter? Do you understand the dynamics of the progressive destruction of whiteness that happens when there's 10% minorities, 20%, 30%, 40%, as the corruption builds up in the entire system until it crumbles into absolute self-parasitism? You don't understand any of it. None of these four. You don't understand, and you couldn't understand, because anyways, if you understood, you would have to reach the conclusion that your own people, your own genes, are part of the problem. That you are a pusher for the modern, polygamous, gynocratic state. George Dash Prude says, Mama JF came to me in a dream and said the trucker will be revealed. Oh yeah, maybe I should do the Candace thing. Maybe I should do like Candace. I would like to announce, ladies and gentlemen, Mama JF came to me in a dream. The trucker that killed her will be revealed. And it will have massive international consequences. Oh, I'm just joking. There's no Jewish truckers. Thomas Howard says, Devin Stack had a great illustration of how the average working white guy in New York back in the 70s would be the most based supremacist on the planet these days. Okay, that's an interesting... Yeah. And so this whole, which is where the whole Brett Weinstein conception that the Western idea that race doesn't matter, this didn't happen. It wasn't even happening in the 70s. Now, sure, there may have been a lack of explicit racism in written form, maybe, you know. If you put aside and forget the kind of anthropological racism and maybe some of the genetic and biological and psychology studies, there may have been a lack of racism in the higher places of society that was ended up in written form. But Western civilization has been effectively racist forever. And it only really relaxed it for 20, 30, 40 years. And things went to shit. It's that simple. Things went to shit when Western civilization stopped being implicitly racist and explicitly racist. Lord of Sigma says, Mama Jeff is probably in some boomer commune in the wilderness now. That's entirely possible. You know, personally, I live with the idea that Mama Jeff has found happiness somewhere. And if she has died, maybe there was an accident, maybe something happened to her. But I work with the default hypothesis that whatever she did it in freedom. She pursued the freedom. And she followed her naive instincts, and it led to wherever it led her. And I'm sure that she was happy along the way, following this whims of her heart. So we have this story here, and I would say to these young Republicans, bullshit apologies here. They're already apologizing, the board of directors of the Young Republican. And it shows what's wrong with the whole kneeling to the leftist order of cancel culture. You will never win like this. When you take the most motivated youth of your organization and you throw them under the bus because they haven't adhered to your boomer worldview, you are killing your own party for the future. This kind of event right here is why there will never be a rising, competent elite of young Republicans. It's because you're throwing them under the bus if they show any sort of cognitive openness. And so whoever stays in the Republican Party as a young man is a man who will have never made a joke about Hitler, a man who will have never made a joke about races, rape, or whatever. And that's very few people. You're reducing constantly to the most sheepish, stupid, dumb, uninteresting youth. The actual solution for the Republican Party would be to cancel culture. You have to all make Hitler jokes. There should be a national Hitler joke day. There should be a day where David Duke is streamed across the nation in all colleges. There, if you had that day, then all of your little Republicans who make jokes on Telegram about Hitler, they would be fine. They could all be part of the growing base of your party. But no, the fucking boomers cannot help. They need to cancel everyone. And you have a bunch of young people in the Republican Party, these tie-wearing little men who have done nothing in their lives, who don't even have anything interesting to say as far as we know, like Brylan Olihan. What has Brylan Olihan ever done? What has he ever innovated? Just another layer in the leftization of the Republican Party. And these tie-wearing sheeps, they will be the only one to survive if you don't allow jokes. And it should be unquestionable that in America, we don't cancel people for First Amendment-protected comedy. I mean, these guys weren't even serious. Do you really think when the youth says, I love Hitler, do you think it's serious or do you think there's a layer of irony? Like, do you really think that they're into history of the 1930s in Germany and they're really fascinated about this? They're joking. They're saying it because it's offensive. Let people test the boundaries of offensiveness. Because no matter where you draw the line, there are some brains who want to be on that line. There are some brains like me who want to be above the line, okay? There are some brains like me who are bound to social rejection. Because no matter no matter what you tell me is the limit of society, I will step 5 or 6 steps further. Like in the 1940s or 50s or whenever that happened, when people were saying, let's not show Elvis Presley's dancing because it's offensive, I would have been like, you have to understand, in 2025, I'm an intellectual who's pushing for certain questions around race and Jewish power. In 1940, I'd be like, oh, let me be your teddy bear. Put a chain around my neck. I will find any sort of violation and I will do it just to protect and practice a kind of healthy audit of this society that claims to be opened. We are appalled by the vile and inexcusable language revealed in the Politico article published today. Such behavior is disgraceful, unbecoming of any Republican, and stands in direct opposition to the values our movement represents. Those involved must immediately resign from all positions. It's like, wow, the left doesn't even have to cancel these guys. The young Republicans are saying, oh, no, no. Anyone who was in that room who said any joke, you're all going to have to resign. We don't even know your names yet. You have to resign. Wow. And then they're going to worry why the Republicans will lose in 2028. The Republicans will lose because you're dropping your youth under the bus. You fucking retards. All you would have to do is say, exactly like J.D. Vance said it, we don't want to live in a society where people are canceled for jokes that they do as kids. That's all you had to do. You can't even do that. You're not even J.D. Vance based. That's how retarded the young Republican Party is. We must hold ourselves to the highest standards of integrity, respect, and professionalism. Okay, well, let's have a look at what they were saying. I love Hitler. Leaked messages expose young Republicans' racist chat. Thousands of private messages reveal young GOP leaders joking about gas chambers, slavery, and rape. My favorite ones. Everyone that votes no is going to the gas chamber. Boom. Also, we are officially under consideration for a Trump endorsement. I'm ready to watch people burn now. Great. I love Hitler. I would go to the zoo if I wanted to watch monkey play ball. So that, I guess, is a racist reference. You're giving nationals too much credit and expecting the Jew to be honest. Wow, based? That is interesting that these young men, they expected some dishonesty from Jews. Those could have been young men of the future Republican Party. But today they've been canceled and the Republican Party is already firing all of them. It's like, resign or we're firing you tomorrow morning. John Drake says, can't win when you're always folding. Dems don't even throw diddlers under the bus. The right has to play dirty like them. Exactly. The left is like a model for this. They will stand by a pedo. They will literally stand by a gang member. They will stand by pedos. They will give a fucking Oscar to the pedo. Like, put yourself in the mindset. What if we were to give an Oscar to some of these guys because everyone that votes no is going to the gas chamber? Oscar. Here, I'm giving you the JF Prize of unsubmissiveness. We would have a more open Republican Party. But the Republican Party is pushing away all of these people. Bad news for you, guys. This is the whole generation. even those that wear ties and don't say these words, they think these words in their head. Because it's how you make a joke in 2025. I'm sorry. This is, we trained the whole generation to be desensitized to cancel culture and to taboos around these subjects. And this is what we cultivated. Boom, they're dead. They love the watermelon people. This girl is fully retarded. Yo, stay in the closet, F word. Leaders of young Republican groups throughout the country worried what would happen if their Telegram chat ever got leaked, but they kept typing away. They referred to black people as monkeys and the watermelon people. See, but that is interesting. Because it's like, why do we have code words to talk about black people? Well, we have no choice. We have no choice because if we say it explicitly, we get censored for it. We have no choice because the left has its own code words. See, when the left says in an article, young jazz musician ends up in jail for shooting his friend. Jogger has been captured by white man and whatever. They have these euphemism for black people. And so it becomes funny to imitate this. So you say the watermelon people because you show that you understand that the subject is edgy and insensitive, but you use a different code word than what the left wants to see. The left wants to see a non-racial code word. The left wants to see jogger, jazz musician, youth. Oh, there were problems in Brampton. The youth on the streets have been causing noise. They mused about their political opponent in gas chambers. They talked about raping their enemies and driving them to suicide and loaded Republicans who they believed support slavery. William Hendricks, the Kansas Young Republicans vice chair, used the words N-G-A and N-G-A. So he didn't even use the hard-har N-word. But this guy is going to get canceled with the rest. This guy is going to get canceled with the rest, and the Young Republican Party doesn't even care. It's like, if you somehow got caught in this whole great, this massive group online conversation where all sorts of people you don't control said stuff, but if you said one thing that can be featured as potentially bad, you're canceled. Well, that's how you get rid of the next generation of voters. Congratulations, Republicans. The vice chair of the New York State Young Republicans at the time referred to the rape as epic. Oh, man. Like, this guy is going to get canceled? It's fucking funny. I love to say epic. Because it's like, epic is morally neutral. You can acknowledge that something is epic without saying it's good, you know? This is what, like, this guy's going to have his political prospect life ruined because he said epic. But it's like there are certain titles that deserve the commentary epic. Like, okay, this woman was raped for 35 days by a total of 450 men. Now you can say epic. And it's funny. It's funny the way we can use that word in certain circumstances. because it's contrasted with the expectation, and it's violative of kind of the psychopathic boundary where there is kind of a taboo about saying anything that could be interpreted as positive in reactions to evil. And so saying epic is kind of morally neutral and kind of commenting on a side issue of the size and epicness of the action and not the evil of it. That's why it's funny. That's why it's funny. And you're gonna cut out from the Republican Party everyone who's funny. That's bad. That is how you get the sheep you deserve. I'm going to create some of the greatest physiological torture methods known to man. We only want true believer. Everyone that votes no is going to the gas chamber, and everyone that endorsed but then votes for us is going to the gas chamber. We have a solid 3 people who can probably have them want to jump. When do we start bullying, dude? If they vote for us, why would they be gassed? When do we bring that side out? Clearly little jokes about gas chambers. Why would you cancel these people? It's like, if you're in a fight, even if you're like playing a basketball match and you're like, we're going to gas these fucker into the ground. We're gonna annihilate them. Sometimes it's just good to prop yourself up, put yourself in fighting mode. And yes, some degree of hard speech may be needed in that masculine process of, yeah, we're going to win. We're going to crush the other side. We're going to gas them. There's no reason to cancel these people. Peter Glunta participates in a CNN political grill discussion at the Republic. So they're trying to establish that these people who are making these jokes are mainstream people. Bullshit article. We will only fix society when this article gets booed, really. And we have to develop a whole generation of people who say, no, 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 you're not manipulating us into canceling these people for jokes. In fact, these jokes are pretty funny. They're great. They develop also kind of a mind for certain political important subjects like the Jews. And, you know, I kind of don't like the people who cancel the young men, but I also don't like these young men, these tie-wearing, suit-wearing, kind of, there's nothing special about me, but I'm a consultant. I'm different than JF because I'm into the real political game. It's like, no, you're not. You're going to get detected by the fucking system. You are thinking that you're above what you really are. You think you don't belong in the pond like Papa JF. You do. They will throw you under the bus the first occasion they have. And how fucking stupid can you be to think that there's something special about your political norminess and you're willing to invade the institutions and think that you're going to get away with a Hitler comment on a Telegram chat? Fucking idiots. Like, I have more rules that I follow in my communication with my family, with my loved ones, in my everyday life than they respect on a written Telegram form. Anything you put in written form that is controversial will be used against you. Understand this. And it's like, I shouldn't be teaching you that because you're the one with the shirt and the suit and the tie. I don't care. That's why in many of my DMs, I'm actually pretty extreme. And in many of my DMs, you would be laughing your fucking ass off if you were seeing them. Sometimes I'm like, hey, this could be featured publicly. That would be good for me. Like, my everyday life, I am sometimes more radical because I don't care about winning respectability. But these young men cared about it. They were trying to invest themselves into the rise into the Republican Party. Well, if you're going to be serious about it, if you're going to be the secret ninja that invades the Republican Party, how about you do your job correctly? And of course, you know, I'm not even against you joking about Hitler. But if you're joking about Hitler, don't then wear the suit and think you're special and think you're part of normie politics. So Aidan, I don't even know who this guy is. He's been kind of an edgy Republican youth. He says, a friend of mine got blackmailed into leaking these chats. A total fucking coward and a useless piece of shit. One of the people in here, he attended his wedding with me and still sold him over to the devil. What the fuck are these people doing? Going to weddings? It's like, these people live on another fucking plane. They're going to a wedding. They have friends. And they have friends of a friend that were at the wedding. Normies are tiring. They're exhausting. All over some useless YR beef. And then the GOP condemned them. Fuck these people. The GOP threatened to fire my friend and vice chairman from his AG job because of TikToks I posted about immigration. I wasn't allowed to talk about replacement theory or any mainline immigration stances. They asked me to resign over Trump's green card diploma mill comments. I was blacklisted by Young Republican National and blocked by their account because their leader is a BLM sympathizing closet case. Everyone in this article is a patriot and everyone attacking them is a dirty, treacherous, impotent, cowardly bundle of sticks. They all deserve to be destroyed. Well, sure. Sherlock. Yeah, Sherlock. We've been identifying these problems for a couple of years. I'm glad that you're now up to speed with what's going on. I'm glad that you've got the memo now. And it's like, understand that these institutions will detect you. You're going to need hyper furtivity to get in there. A Hitler joke in private? You think a group chat is private? No, they're going to get it. They're going to detect less than this. You don't even need to make a Hitler joke. They're going to test you and discuss with you, and they're going to find, oh, he's kind of the border-ish of saying white peoples have rights. Not good. So it's like for the people who want to invade the institutions, I don't want to black pill you guys, but you guys don't understand the power of the game. You don't understand the game you're signing up to. Sean Mister says, I just remembered that Papa used to say, guilty of high cuckery. That I want to hear again. Absolutely. I declare the Young Republican Party guilty of high cuckery. Felony level high cuckery. And it's like, we knew this. This is why to these young Republicans and to Aidan here, oh, you thought you were in the machine. You thought you had it because you have a tie and you went to that wedding. And oh, he's been very friendly to you and all these friends. They got your friends to befriend at the wedding. Like, no. There's a whole, these people, they're going to chew you up the first chance they get. Who was the traitor, they ask? Mike Bartels. Apparently there's this Mike Bartels who was in the chat and who gave these messages to Gavin Wax. But again, does it really matter who the specific betrayer is? Because I see in some of these chat messages, that there are these young Republicans that are discussing with these edgy boys. And they're like, please don't do that again. Please don't do that again. Please do not call for someone's murder again. You are putting me in a discomfort. I'm very discomfortable. I'm uncomfortable at what you're doing right now. Please watch your language. It is not fine to be calling for the death of someone. So clearly, like, you have here, you have the self-selection. Who is the future of the Republican Party? It's the fucking cucks. It's the high cuckery perpetrators. The guilt, those that are guilty of high cuckery will be selected by the system. And that's how you get cuckery in high places. That's how you get just sheeps that are disconnected from people. They can't even be connected to normal young developing men of the 20 in their 20s making jokes, of course, about Hitler. Andrew Tarba was feeling vindicated because he's been one of these guys at the edge of the system and saying, look, if you play the game of the system, you're always going to lose. Let's see how this strategy works in real life. What a happy little coincidence that this was published today. Infiltrate Republican political circles. Can't fake your real beliefs because no one can. Jew finds out. Politico magically gets your spicy group chat. All Republicans disavow and you get fired. You groveled and apologized. Yeah. I side with Andrew Tarba and I side with the idea that the system must be rejected. We must build new bases. And these young men, man, you just didn't know the level of furtivity you needed. You should have known. You should have known. But you got carried by your ego. You thought that, oh, if I'm dressed clean and don't say too much. And no, it's like there's no limit to cancel culture. Doesn't matter. You don't have to be JF level canceled. They can cancel you on a joke. And you just got canceled on a joke. Which is why we need a parallel system, an absolute rejection of normie society. We need our world. We need our games. We need our places to live. And we need to protect ourselves from centrally controlled parties because we lost control of them. That is what I had to say for tonight. John Drake says, this is where self-custody Bitcoin comes in, Shamrock. They can't take it, so fuck them will be the attitude. Shamrock was saying, and suspending bank accounts of the trucker protesters. Absolutely. That is self-custody is absolutely important to not being controlled by the system. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love. Thank you for being here. And if you'd like to support the show, join the Patreon, the Subscribestar, or send me a one-time donation on the Streamlabs link or the Subscribestar link. Thank you very much all for your support. And if you haven't done so yet, you can go buy The Revolutionary Phenotype. Still rolling. Still the truth. Still valid theory of the emergence of life. Bye-bye.